Very tenacious worker.
Okay.
Your wife's a very hard worker.
Yes, well, at least she does it.
Okay. Right, we are now looking at Sedra Vayikra. It is true that we are coming towards Pesach, but this week is Parshat Vayikra. And Vayikra begins off about the Korbanot, the offerings in the temple. And in fact, much of Sefer Vayikra and also Sefer Bamidbar, also in certain patches, concerns the korbanot, the offerings, and this indeed was a crucial aspect of the running of the temple. And in the Rambam, there are a lot of details about the korbanot. So let's just look at the beginning of this parsha, Vayikra el Moshe, which is the beginning words of the discourse that we will be exploring, Bezal Hashem. It's one which was said in 1982 on Shabbat, Parshat Vayikra, which was the 3rd of Nisan, which is the same Kviyut. I think this year as well, Shabbat will be the 3rd of Nisan, because Rosh Chodesh is Thursday, yes. Then Friday, and then Shabbat. So it's going to be the same date. So that was said in 1982, and we've got Vayikra el Moshe. He called to Moshe, Hashem called to Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem Elav, and God spoke to him, Me'ohel Mo'ed Le'emor, from the tent of meeting, saying, Daber B'nei Yisrael, speak to the B'nei Yisrael, Va'amarta Aleihem, and you should tell them, Adam Ki Yakhiv Mikem, a person who offers from among you, Korban Lashem, an offering to God. Now, the word Mikem is interesting, the position that it's in. You might have thought, Adam Mikem, a person among you, Ki Yakhiv Korban Lashem, who will offer an offering to Hashem. So that will be pointed out in the discourse, in the Maimah. Min HaBehema, Min HaBakar, Min HaTzon, from the domestic animals, the cattle and the sheep, takhivu et korbanchem, you should offer your offering. And that is enough for the entry into the actual discourse. Yes.
Why is the aleph?
Why is the aleph small? Yes. That's any suggestions, David? Why is the aleph small?
I've got some memory of it's like Vayikar. It happened upon, or something, you know, came upon Hashem. Aleph represents Hashem. I don't remember where it's from.
Okay, that might be an explanation. One explanation is the aleph ze'erai, the little aleph represents the humility of Moshe. God is calling to Moshe and communicating with him. And in order for that to happen, Moshe has to be completely in a state of bitul, in a state of selflessness. So the aleph represents his humility. And then Hashem is communicating with him like a channel flowing to him.
It's called Aleph Zeira.
Yeah, that's the, you see the terms, when there's a little letter, it's called Al-Ot Ze'era, like the Aleph Ze'era, Beit Ze'era. And when it's a big letter, it's Beit Rabati, Dalet Rabati. So like in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem
yes.
Echad, there's Ayin Rabati and Dalet Rabati.
Yes.
So it is said that there is a complete alphabet of big letters and of little letters throughout the Tanakh, which all have, each one in its own situation has a significance.
Is that like Ze'er and Pin?
Yes, meaning small. Small. Yeah, that's right, meaning small.
I couldn't remember if it was from Rashi that he says something about that little Aleph. I was just looking. Actually see that.
Let's have a look.
Or it could have been in the Gutnik. Which I'll quickly look at.
Yes,
get something
like yes that. Should I take it?
Because just like the sacrifices are pure, so too are the children pure.
Yeah, but this doesn't explain why the Aleph is small. Unless because the children are small, the Aleph is small.
Yeah, that seems to be... What was that? The Kli Yaka?
Yeah.
So read it again.
It says, the small Aleph's an allusion to the custom that small children traditionally begin their studies with the book of Vayikra. As the Midrash states, why do we initiate young children with the parasha, which speaks of sacrifices? Because just like the sacrifices are pure, so too the children are pure.
Yavot orim b'yasku b'torim. Let the pure children come and explore the purity of the korbanot. Okay.
There's a bit more if you want.
Yeah.
The last, you know, the last word. Yeah.
Go on.
It says, the small Aleph, being the first of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph is the head or leader of all the letters. This is further hinted to by the fact that Aleph is an etymological derivative of the word Aluf, which means leader or chief. So a small Aleph, see the Panech Razah, is a contradiction in terms. Why is a letter which represents leadership and greatness written small? If the Torah wishes to allude to Moshe's humility, surely this could have been done by making another letter small and not the Aleph. However, the point here is that a person's greatness and humility should not be two distinct entities.
Yes.
Some people are generally contrite, but when it comes to their field of expertise, then their feelings of humility become temporarily suspended. The Torah is teaching us here that a person's humility, represented by smallness, should be in the very same area as his greatness, represented by the Aleph. His unique talents, as special qualities themselves, should lead him to feel humble. When he contemplates the fact that if another person would have been given the same capabilities as himself, that person would surely have surpassed his achievements. It's based on one of the sichas.
Well, and I might add a little bit about this as well. Aleph being aloof and etymological, I don't know, but linguistically, aloof is... An ox is the origin of the word Aleph is a picture of an ox. Probably the ox being the most important animal object that 4,000 years or 5,000 years ago they had. So they began with Aleph, which means aloof, and which means leader, but also is an ox. It's also the same in the Egyptian language.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to try to explore this discourse. It is not a very long discourse, and so maybe we'll get through the whole thing. And first let us try to enter the world of the discourse through the Maimon Nigun. And oh ya bom bom bo ya ramana yum bam bam oh ya ma yum bam bo oh ya yo ya yo oh ho ya yere lamba ya ya yo ya yere lamba ya ma yo ya yere lamba ya yere lamba ho ho ya ya ma yere lamba ya 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 ma yere lamba ho ya ma yo ya ma yo Adam ki akhiv mikem. In fact, that's the beginning of the Maimon. Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who offers from among you, korban lahashem, a korban to God, an offering to God, min habehima, min habaka, min atzon, from the animals, from the cattle, and from the sheep. Takrivu et korbanchem, you should offer your offering. So that is the verse that we just read. Umadaik bezeh kvod kdushat admur marashab. The Rebbe Rashab, Reb Sholom Dovber, Nishmato Eden, may his soul is in Eden, Baal Ha'ilula de Beit Nisan, whose yahrzeit is on the 2nd of Nisan. He passed away the 2nd of Nisan in 1920. So he wrote in one of his discourses, Lama tzarich lagdim mitchila, why does it have to begin at the beginning? Inyan Adam ki yakriv. Why does there have to be this introductory verse? The man who comes and offers up. Havalei lemeima, it should have just begun. Inyan zeba pasuk, it should have begun with the next verse. Im ola korbano, where it speaks about the actual rules of bringing the offerings. That's verse 3. Imola korbano, if he brings if a burnt offering is sacrificed, then he should bring min habaka, zacha, tamim, yakivenu, he should bring from the cattle a male, perfect animal. So why doesn't it just begin with the laws of the korbanot? Every word in the Torah is precious. What is the function of this introductory verse which precedes the next verse, which shemedaber benogel le'etzem inyan ha'korbanot, the next verse which is actually speaking about the offerings? So it's a question about this verse altogether. V'gam tzarich la'vin, we also have to understand ma shenem akan, what it says here, shem adam dafka, the word adam, a man who offers. Dehinei yadua, it's known, Shaba'arba Shemot, there are four names for a man. Enosh, Gever, Ish, Adam. So each one of these words means man, but it's interesting, he's quoting here, footnote 5, do you see? Is quoting the Zohar, that the Zohar comments on these four different names for man. And among those names, Hareshem Adam, the word Adam itself, More al Hamadrega Hayoten Alit, that indicates the highest level. So, in other words, we're saying Adam, which means the highest kind of man, who is offering an offering. Now, when you look in the book of Vayikra, basically, why are the offerings coming? For the most part, the offerings come because if someone has sinned. And even a burnt offering, which doesn't come for a sin, it atones for a positive command that the person omitted to do. So in other words, there's a way of seeing the korbanot, that the whole function of the korbanot is to atone for sin, or to atone for a deficiency of some kind. So if it's atoning for a deficiency, why do we call the Adam? V'im kein lama ne'ma b'korbanot, therefore, if so, why does it say with the korbanot, shem Adam dafka, specifically the name Adam, which is a higher, perfect man. Gam tzarich la'vin, we also have to understand kafish medayek admor zaken belikutei Torah, as the Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains or comments in his book Likutei Torah, ma shekatuv Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who offers from you, the lefia kavanah pshuta, according to the simple meaning, kashi yakriv echad mikem korban, when one of you comes to offer an offering, hayatzarich lomar, it should have said Adam mikem ki yakriv, a man from among you who offers. Ube'omro Adam ki yakriv mikem, and by the fact that it says a man who offers from among you, mashma shehakorban yiyeh meha'adam gufa, the offering actually comes from the person. It's saying that a person who is making an offering, the offering is from you, Mikem Korban Hashem. From you yourself, you're offering something of yourself. That's what the offering really is. Then there's another point for Od, B'tchila Omer Yakhiv Lushon Yachid. At the beginning it says Yakhiv in the singular. And later, V'achakach Omer Takhivu Et Korbanchem, you in the plural should offer your offering, both words in the plural, Lushon Rabbi. Okay. So those are a number of questions, seemingly disparate questions. And let's see to what extent they are answered and what is unfolded in this maima. Ubiya inyan hu, and the explanation of this topic is Dihine Mavua Batanya. It explains in the book Tanya b'shem Eitz Chaim, in the name of Eitz Chaim by Reb Chaim Vital, which is the main book communicating the teachings of Rabbi Yitzhak Luria. And it says there, the Hanashama Atzma, the soul itself, Einat Tzrichat Tikkun, does not need to be healed, to be repaired. The way we look at existence is that existence requires repair. V'lo yarda lamata, but the soul does not require repair. The soul only came below ele l'taken et haguf, in order to put right and repair the physical body, v'hanefesh habahamit, and the animal soul which is inside the body, v'chelko ba'olam, and a person's portion in the world, which means everything that a person uses of the world. The apartment they live in, their home, the clothes they wear, the food they eat, the car they have, their computer, their mobile phone, everything. All of this is chelko ba'olam. This is their portion in the world, and they have come spiritually to repair that portion. La'asot mikol inyanei ha'olam, to make from all aspects of the world mishkan u'mikdash lo yitbarach, a dwelling place, a sanctuary, a temple for Hashem. U'mavar b'zeh, and it quod kedushat mori v'chami admor. So the previous Rebbe, who is the father-in-law of our Rebbe, he comments on this, b'ma'amarei ha'hilula, on the discourses of his own yotzeit, that means the bati legani, I have come into my garden, that chain of discourses which he left to be studied, and he, on a particular day, the first one, and then he passed away, and there are in fact four discourses, one after the other, with 20 chapters, which are a very fascinating set of teachings. So he explains that one of the main kinds of service in the sanctuary and the temple was the service of bringing offerings. The korban, because the word korban doesn't actually mean offering. It doesn't even mean sacrifice. Korban u'milshon kiruv. Korban comes from the word being close, drawing close. The inyana korbanot, and the nature of the offerings of the korbanot, hu lekarev et inyanei haolam, is to bring close aspects of the world, and in this sense, olam miloshon helem behester, world meaning concealment. So taking things which in themselves are concealed spiritually, v'la'asotam keilim lelokut, and to make them into vessels for godliness, expressions of godliness. Uchamayma, as it says in the Zohar, raza de kurbana, the secret of the offering, ola ad raza de einsof, ascends to the secret of the infinite. That means the person takes from all the aspects of the world. He makes a dwelling for Hashem. Umamshich Bahem, and he draws into them Prinat Ikar Shchina, the very essence of the divine presence. So in other words, the bringing of an offering to the temple in a more general and global way for each person is that one takes aspects of the world around one and one brings them close to each other and to Hashem so that they become a vessel for godliness in some way, that they become an expression of godliness, and in that way one is making in this world a dira lo yitbarach, a dwelling for Hashem, so that the essence of the Shekhinah can be revealed here in the world. Now that's a very interesting way of understanding what the korbanot are, because it means that it's not something remote from the person, that in the temple which existed long ago or will exist in the time of Mashiach, but it's not there now. Then there's the concept of korbanot. Instead, it's saying the korbanot are happening all the time, that we are actually bringing close things to Hashem, and that our personal lives, our physical lives in our body, grappling and dealing with our animal soul and with the aspects of the physical world that we we're involved in and which we use in our daily lives, we make from that a something which is close to Hashem, in the sense that it's a keli for Hashem, it's a vessel for godliness, and we reveal, that's the goal, we reveal godliness in all these aspects of our life. Now this explains one of the questions. That's why it says dafka, the word Adam, this exalted word, that it's Adam, the highest level of man, who is able to bring this offering. Because the power to draw aspects of the world close to godliness, it comes from that level. It's not the lower level. Yes, the simple reading of what the korbanot are, the korbanot come to atone for sin. So who is bringing the korban? Someone who has made an error one way or the other. Okay, that's one reading of the korbanot. Another reading of the korbanot is that the korbanot are drawing near the aspects of existence and bonding them, making them a vessel for godliness. And that is the highest kind of man who is able to do that, or the highest aspect of ourselves. Va'inyan hu, and the subject is as follows: the Adam nikhal shem Adam lekelyon. The word Adam, which we use so freely as man, it comes from a word. This is Hasidic or Kabbalistic linguistics. It comes from the word Adameh. I will be like godliness, kelyon, Hashem who is above. V'inyan, another way of understanding it, which the Chumash says, is that Adam is called Adam because he comes min ha'adama, from the earth. This is so this is a completely different perspective, that it's not the low aspect of man that he, or the physical aspect of man that is being emphasized, or it's not only that. You see, all of these things coexist. All these different interpretations are there together. So, but the higher interpretation is that man is in some way a metaphor, or with some quality which is similar to the divine above, the exalted divine above. V'inyan Adame lekelyon hu, and the concept of I will be, or one will be similar to godliness, kviyachol. Now, of course, there's kviyachol. You know, how can you say that any human being is in any way similar to godliness? Lahavdil alef havdalot. But I must say that the Kabbalistic tradition and the Hasidic tradition, first of all, it sees godliness in everything anyway. So the stone is an expression of godliness. You know, the leaf. So if everything is an expression of godliness, it's not such a ridiculous statement to say that a human being is in some sense an expression of God. The idea of the vast gap between God and his creatures is somehow bridged by the transcendent God and his creatures. You know, you can't make any comparison whatsoever. There's almost no link, and it's almost a deep question: how could transcendent, infinite God have created a world with such lowly creatures as there are here, including us? But then you have the idea of the immanence of godliness, godliness pervading everything, the life force of God in every leaf and every stone. So it's not so far-fetched, this idea, Adam, a man, because Adam Elik Elyon, or a woman, of course, because of this, in some way, likeness to God. And of course, in the Chumash itself, it says, B'tzelem Elokim bara et Adam. The Chumash itself, the Torah itself, makes almost the most striking statement of all. Man being made in the image of God. That's a very striking and even disturbing statement. God doesn't have an image. How can you say man is made in the image of God? And so one of the answers has to do with the spiritual dimension within human beings that has, like the Sfirot. The Sfirot are an aspect of the divine, and the Sfirot are an aspect of a person's makeup as well. So now, Kumavur b'likutei Torah, as explained in Likutei Torah Parshatenu in our Parsha Vayikra, the Neshamot Yisrael, that the souls of the Jewish people, heim p'chinat shluchim shalamayla, they are like emissaries of above, emissaries of the divine. And there's a very interesting halachic statement. Shlucho shel adam kamohu. The shliach that a person sends is like him. So if you send a shliach, an emissary, to do something, he's empowered by you. He's your attorney, and he's able to do things. So if he buys the house, or whatever it is, you've empowered him to do that, and he's there in your place. Now, so taking this halachic concept, and inserting the word Hakelion, the upper man, in other words, the divine, Shlucho shel Adam Hakelion, Kumoto, Kumohu. The Shaliach, the emissary of God, in some way, Kaviyachol, is like him. So we are, the Neshamot of Yisrael, are emissaries of God, and so therefore we have some kind of affinity. וגם מטעם זה אמרו רבתינו זל, הווה מכבדין את המצוות שאין שלוחי, דשלוחו של אדם העליון כמותו. So the sages, our rabbis said, he quotes Tanchuma, our rabbis said, honor the mitzvot because they are my emissaries. And the emissary of God is like him. So therefore, we have this concept in the Midrash, in Tanchuma, that the emissary of God is like him, and in that case it was talking about the mitzvah, but you can also talk about the neshamot of the Jewish people as well. Ulamayla yoyte, and even higher. V'nei anu amrim, we say, neshama shenatata bi tohorahi. We say in Elokai Neshama, in the prayers, the morning prayers, which is in the Siddur, we say, the soul that you've given me is pure. Now that level, he, the Shoresh Umakor Neshama, that's because the root, the source of the soul, he bifchinat tehiru ilah, is the upper, tehiru here means purity and radiance of this upper realm, Shalamailam Atzilut, which is higher than Atzilut. There is this upper realm of purity and radiance, which is the real source of the Neshama, and it's higher. Ulamaila Yotan, you can even go higher. Hine Shoresh HaNeshamot, the source of the souls, who ba'atzmuto yitbarach, is in the very essence of God. Now this is an aspect of Chabad Hasidic teaching, actually, which emphasizes the source of the soul in the essence of the divine. Rather than seeing the soul just as some kind of lower level of life force, which is giving life to the inert body, and so the soul in itself is not necessarily so exalted, but following various midrashim and Kabbalistic ideas, here taking the idea that the neshama itself has a very, very exalted source within godliness. Dehinei ktiv, because it's written, im hamelech b'melachto yashvu sham. They sat there with the king in his work. Okay, now that's a verse from Divrei Hayamim. And I think it's actually like, I'm not quite sure of the context there, but that idea, with the king in his work, they sat there, and this is taken from Rabbeinu Zal, and the sages say, with who did God take counsel when he created the world? With the souls of the righteous. So in other words, the souls of the righteous are there with God, and when God wants to work to make the world, he consulted the souls of the righteous. Umikiven shaham lachal briyat olam. Since the consultation of, we always will have a sophisticated role. So since the consultation about the creation of the world, haita b'neshamot Yisrael, was with the Jewish souls, I move on, so it can be understood, shame lemaile me'olam, that the soul is beyond the world. Ubahem nimlach al inyan abriya, and with the soul above the world, God consulted concerning creation. Kishoresh haneshamot hu batzmuto yitbarach, because in fact the source of the souls is within the essence of God. Adam al shem adama adamel kelyon, and therefore we are called Adam, man, because of this exalted source. Umikiven shem adam elek helyon, since they have this exalted quality, lachen biyicholtam, therefore they have the power, lekarev et kol inyanei haolam, to draw all aspects of the world closer, lelukut, to godliness. So far we've heard that the real meaning, or the meaning that's being focused on here, of the concept of a korban, is that korban is the avodah, is the service of the individual. Each individual takes the aspects of the world around them, gathers them together, and connects them with God. And in order to achieve this, one has to remember one's boundless spiritual source, which gives one the exalted quality of Adam, which is similar in some way, Adameh, the idea of similitude, lahavdil, kviyachol, to Hashem, the infinite. And that gives the person the power. So, the sentences that we've read so far, one could say, are very much an empowering statement about the nature of the individual and what the task of the individual is, and that this is a crucial task to connect existence to Hashem. V'hine seda hadvarim, now the order of activity, b'kiruv inyanei ha'olam, in drawing close aspects of the world, lelukut, to godliness, the order is as follows, who, d'tchilat tzalich lekarev et atzmo. First one has to bring oneself close, lelukut, to godliness. Kshot atzmacha. There's a phrase in the Talmud, kshot means decorate. Kshot atzmacha, decorate yourself, v'achakach kshot acherim, and after that, decorate other people. In other words, we have to pull our own bootstraps up in some sense and shapen up ourselves in some positive way before we are able to have an effect on other people. Although it says this here, it's an interesting discussion, because one of the ways of helping a person improve in their own personal structure, spiritually and morally, is by getting them to help other people. So You know, it can be like this in education. If you have a pupil who is a difficult pupil and has various problems, behavioral problems, so one approach is, you know, you punish the pupil, God forbid, you know, till you manage to get them to fit in with what you want them to do. But that's not really the best approach at all. A better approach is give the pupil some extra responsibility so that they feel that they're in a significant position. Then when they have this significant position, it brings out in them the positive qualities within them themselves, and then they're able to behave in a more positive way.
So that,
yes, so that's the idealistic Chabad way of looking at dealing with educational problems, which has, you know, it works to a certain extent. The question is being able to apply it in such a way that the student really feels that they've been given a responsibility and don't feel that they've been given an imposition. So it's a kunst.
No, the real problem with that is, although it does work, the problem with that is the children who behave well don't get anything extra. So basically, you have to behave badly in order to get something extra, and if you're naturally well behaved, you basically get zilch. That's the problem with the system. No, because it does work, certainly, but a lot of schools are now using those things, but it is a major problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's being good is a problem.
Now, if you give prizes both to the good and to the bad, then it's not good to be average.
We weren't talking about prizes, we're talking about a system view of giving responsibility to those.
It's giving something to.
To the badly behaved. Give them responsibility, which works, their behaviour improves, yes. But what about the rest of the class? What you're actually saying, you're saying, okay, you're very well behaved, you behaved very nicely for the last 5, 8 years, whatever it is, but if you want to get any prizes in this establishment, you have to then behave badly, and then. Well, they'll give you reward for your improvement.
And that's the problem with it. Give rewards to both edges, well, yeah. Both extremes.
Listen, this is what makes staff meetings very long when you're discussing who should get the prize.
And you haven't come to any decisions yet.
Yeah, well, these are... However, so what we see here is this concept of empowerment of the individual in order, so this idea of make oneself better. I mean, so here we're moving back to the text. Make yourself better, second line in this paragraph, which is line 11. Va'achakach, and after that, la'alot et inyanei olam, to elevate the aspects of the world, kshot achirim, make other things better. Now this is what it wrote b'tchila at the beginning. Adam ki akhir mikem korban l'Hashem. The person who offers from yourselves an offering to God. D'tchila tzarich liot ha-korban mikem. First the offering has to be from you yourself. That means kshot atzmecha. You bring yourself close to God. And after that, you can reach into the world around you, min ha-behema, from the animal, maybe the animal's soul, min ha-baka, from the flocks. And in fact, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, discussing this verse, speaks about the animals that are being described as being offered as being the animal soul of the person. And the animal soul of the person, some people have an animal soul which is like an ox, and some people have one which is like a lamb, and some people have one which is like a goat. And this is the animal aspect of the person which is being connected with God. Now this idea originates in Rabbi Shneur Zalman's Torah Or by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. Yes. Or is it Likutei Torah? Likutei Torah by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, which of course was printed around It was printed in 1848. Okay? Now, it's interesting that Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch gives a very similar explanation in his commentary on the Torah in Vayikra. And he was writing in the 1850s. I'm not quite sure the date of the first publication of this, his commentary on the Torah. But it's interesting that he may well have got hold of these new books that were published in Russia. He probably had an extensive library. And it's very interesting. He uses the same idea in his commentary on Vayikra.
About what? About the
animal? About the source. Animal, the person.
Well, the Chinese have also got this idea.
Of what?
Of animals that represent people, that have dimensions of people, people that have them.
Well, I think every race of human beings in some way compares animals to human beings. You know, people have animal names and all kinds of similarities. However, here it's a particular verse in the Torah, the same birth, and the idea that the offerings, it's the animal, it's some kind of animal aspect of the person which is being offered. It's an interesting point. That's now. So, in other words, one starts with oneself, that's the korban lash mikem, and then comes the animal dimension outside oneself. Vainyan ba'avodat adam, and then we have this whole concept translated into the individual service of a Jew to Hashem. Hinei tchila tzarich liot avodat ha'tfila. First, there has to be the service of prayer. The tefillah hi sulam, because the tefillah is a ladder. Prayer is a ladder mutzavatza, standing on the ground, l'roshla magi ha-shamayim, and its head reaches the heavens, as in Jacob's dream. V'al yidei avodat ha-tefillah, and through the service of prayer, ma'alet ha-tzmo b'pchinat atza, a person rises from being on the ground, ad b'pchinat shamayim, till he reaches the heavens. L'shorcho mekoro, to his very source. Inyan kshot atzmo, and that itself is make yourself perfect. Work on yourself to make yourself more spiritually beautiful. Va'acha kach, and after that, what happens after prayer? Tzarich lelech mebeit haKnesset lebeit haMidrash. One has to go from the synagogue to the study house, as it says in the Talmud. And after that, the person goes to work. That he draws near aspects of the world to godliness. Ad shemakhiv, till he offers mina behima, mina bakar, mina tzon, all the different kinds of animal, kipshuto, in literal sense, misugachai, of these animal creatures, valderech zeh. So that is the animal dimension of the world that he's offering to God. Similarly, hanesachim, the libations which go with the animal, and the libations are things like wine and oil, which are from the vegetable dimension of existence. Vahamelach, and the salt, which is always there. Shabakoba, not always there on the offerings, which is from the inanimate realm. So there we have animal, tzomeach, vegetable, v'domem, and mineral. Kshot acherim. So then make other things beautiful. So you start off with yourself, the human, coming close to Hashem through prayer, and then in the process of the day, one is drawing the different aspects of the world, including the animal, vegetable, mineral, and connecting them with Hashem. So in other words, he's made the idea of korbanot not just something in the temple. It's something which is every day of our lives. It's our whole life, from the process of prayer to studying Torah and then working in the world. All this is a process of reaching to the very exalted level beyond, and then coming down into the world and gathering together what is in the world and connecting it with God. Next paragraph, verse, line 19. V'hinektiv, now it's written, Gam et ha'olam natan b'libam, that Hashem put the world in the heart of a person. Beautiful verse, which is in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastes. Hashem put the world in one's heart. The whole world is in the heart of each person. U'mizem muvan, from this we understand, Shegam b'avodat ha'adam imatzmo, that also in the service of the person with himself, Yeshno beta inyanin, you have these two aspects. You have Mikem Korban Hashem. You have from you, there is the offering to God, the higher level of you. Umina behema mina baka, and also the animal and the cattle. Vainyan hu, and that means, dine bin shamot, yeshte madre God. Among the souls, there are two levels. Prinat zera adam, prinat zera behema. The idea of the seed of man and the seed of animals, which it speaks about in Hasidic teachings. The Zera Adam Kayal and Neshamot Atzilut. There are souls of Atzilut which are referred to as the seed of man. Atzilut Olam Ha'achdut. And Atzilut means the world of emanation, the highest of the four Kabbalistic worlds. That means the world of unity. The Zera Behema, the seed of animals. Kayal Neshamot Debriya Yetzira Asiya. That's talking about the souls of the lower levels of creation, formation and action. Alma de Peruda, the world of separation. Va'avuda de Zera Adam, and the service of the seed of man, which is the higher level of Atzilut. Ubchinat kshot atzmecha, is the level of decorate yourself. Va'avuda de Zera Behema, and the second dimension of service, which is the seed of animals in the lower worlds, the worlds of separation. That's Pinat Kshot Achirim, that is dealing, decorating, making more beautiful others. Val Derech Zeh B'chol Neshama, and similarly, within each soul, Yesh Beit Madregot Elu, there are these two levels. Pinat...
Can I ask, where does this... Why Zera Adam Zera Behema? Why does it appear here? It says, "Deine ben neshamot yishtei dargot." Are these dargot of neshamot?
Yes. You see, Adam and Behema, both of these are ways of writing the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. If we take Yud, see, this is called writing B'milui. Now, Yud written like that, Yud, Vav, Dalet. That's 10, and Vav is 6, and Dalet is 4, so that makes altogether 20, right? Now comes the letter He. So, the letter He, you could write a letter He, two He's together, or you could write Hey like that, or you could write Hey in Aleph, or you could write Hey like that, Hey in Yud. Okay, so that has the numerical value 10, that is the numerical value 6, and that is the numerical value 15, right? Then we have Vav. So Vav can be two Vavs, which is 12, or it can be Vav like this, which is with an Aleph in between, which is 13. Now, 20, and this is, one of these is 45. 20, and there's another hay. One second, there's another hay. This is 20. Hey Aleph, which is 6, 26. Vav with an Aleph, which is 13, makes 39. And then another Hey, which is 6, makes 45. Now 45 is Adam. 1, 4, and 40, right? 45. Now, then there's another which comes to 52. 20, 30, this hay, hay and hay.
20, 30, 40, and 12.
Yeah, that's right. So that makes now 52 is behema, 2, 5, 40, and 5. 52. Right? So Adam is one numerical way of bringing out the name Yudke Vavke, and Behema is another way of bringing out the numerical value Yudke Vavke. So Adam is considered the higher level, and Behema, which is Ban 52, is the lower level, relating to Malchut. This relates to higher than Malchut, and that relates to Malchut. So,
but why?
And so then it comes out as Zera Behema, that in the source of the soul, it's this kind of soul or that kind of soul. So one way of understanding it is there are different levels of soul. You see, you can talk about the neshamot of the tzaddikim as a higher level of soul, which come into the world not for the purpose of grappling with their own yetzahara, but in order to improve other people. So they are like the Zera Adam, and the other people are like the Zera Behema. Adam, it all comes from a verse, Adam Behema Toshia Hashem. So man and beast, God should save. Now, it actually all means people, but it's different aspects of people. What's interesting in this discourse is that it puts both ideas, both qualities within each person, that within each individual there are these two qualities of the neshama. So that's the bottom line. Similarly, in every soul, there are these two qualities. The quality of atzilut in the soul. As we said, the soul which you've given me is pure. Which, according to one commentary, kayal olam atzilut, means the world of atzilut, pchinat atzmecha, which means decorate yourself. And then comes va'ata barata ati yatzata, you created, you formed the soul coming lower down, pchinat v'ria yitzira asiya, the level of creation, formation, action, shebeneshama in the soul, pchinat kshot acherim, which means decorate others, umizeh nimshach ba'olam, and from this it's drawn into the world, sheyesh beit ha'madregat ba'olamot gufa, there are two levels of the worlds themselves. Olam Atzilut, on the one hand, the world of Atzilut, Olam Achdut, the world of unity, emanation, V'olamot, Bria Yetzira Asiya, Shein Alma Debchuda, and then you have the lower levels of world, creation, formation, and action, which are the worlds of separation. V'zeu, and that's what it means, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Korban Hashem, the person who offers from you an offering to God, min ha-behima, from the animal, min ha-baka, min ha-tzon, from the cattle and the flock, takrivu, in the plural, et korbanchem, your offering, shemakriv kol davar ha-tzarich kiruv, he draws near everything that needs to be drawn near, afilu madrega achinalit, even the highest level, olam atzilut, the realm of atzilut, v'afilu olamot ein sof shelamayim atzilut, even the worlds of ein sof, which are higher than atzilut, mekarev otam lemala yoter, he elevates them higher and higher. So in other words, the person who comes from the essence of godliness, he has this or she has the possibility of elevating everything to an exaltedly higher level. Ki gam olam atzilut, because even the world of atzilut, v'afilu olam atein sof, and even the worlds of infinity, shelamaylam atzilut, which are higher than atzilut, heim b'seda yishtal shalot, they are in the downchaining of the worlds. V'heim olamot, and they have the quality of worlds. V'kivin sheim olamot, and since they are worlds, hadeheim b'mdida v'hagbala, they are limited in some way. V'tzarich la'alotan, and one has to elevate them, l'pchinat ein sof shelamaylam ahagbala, to the level of infinity beyond any kind of limitation. And after that it explains, Trila mikem korban Hashem, first of all, from you is the offering, Shekaya lavoda de etzem neshama, which is talking about the service of the essence of the soul, or anefesh elokit, or the divine soul, or Adam bichlal, or the person in general, and after that, mina behima, mina baka, from the animal. Shekaya Lavoda, Bechelik and Neshamah Melubeshet Beguf, with a portion, that's the service of the soul as it is in the body, or with the animal soul, or the service with Inyanei HaOlam Bichlal, aspects of the world in general. Shema'ale Otam LeShorsham U'Mekoram, that one elevates them to their root and source. V'zeh U'Takrivu Et Korbanchem LeShon Rabim. That's why it says in the plural, you should offer your offering, Sha'al Yedei Shema'ale L'Nutzutzot HaKedusha, through the fact that he or she elevates the sparks of holiness which are in aspects of the world, the sparks that he's elevating in fact help him in his service. So it's there's a kind of a response. He is elevating the world, but the spirituality of the world en revanche elevates him. Yes, so that's why it's takrivu in the plural, you are all elevated. Val yidei avodat hakorbanot, and through the service of the offerings, naseh reach nechorach l'avayah, comes a sweet savor for God. As it says, now, that which is mentioned many times in the Torah, v'amru rabbeinu zal, and the sages said, what does it mean, reach nechoach, or sweet savor? Nachat ruach lefanai sha'amati v'naaseh ratzoni. It's a delight for God that he has commanded and his will is fulfilled. Haynu sha'nachat ruach, the pleasure, ulefanai daika, is particularly before the inwardness of God. Which is even higher than the name Yutke Vavke. So in other words, this process of bringing everything close to God on the highest levels reaches the very highest levels of God. As we see from what the Zohar says, that the secret of the offering rises to the secret of the infinite. And Ein Sof, the infinite, is even beyond the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which itself is so exalted. Va'ad shenachat ruach zeh, till this delight, hu b'chinat nachat ruach debore. It's lebore. It's a kind of delight, kuvah yachol, so to speak, for the Creator. Shalemai lebein aroch minachat ruach shal nivra, which is infinitely higher than the pleasure any created thing could feel. As explained in a long string of discourses by the Rebbe Maharash called Bekacha Tochluoto. It begins off with a Pesach discourse and then it goes through the whole year explaining all the different aspects of the Yom Tovim. Now the wholeness, the fullness of these korbanot will be in the future. As we say, v'sham na'aseh lefanecha k'mitzvah l'tzonecha, then when we have the temple, we will fulfill your will. V'mitzvah hu milashon tzavta v'chibo. Mitzvah means not just command, but it means a bond, a connection with God. Sh'adam itached im ba'al ha'ratzon. The person is unified with the author of the will, with Hashem, who is the one who is commanding. Dinyan say ye b'shleimut la'atid lavo. That will be completely holy in the future to come. V'lechein gam shleimut avodat ha'korbanot. And therefore also the wholeness of the service of the offerings tiyeh la'atid lavo will be in the future. V'agam v'agam shamru rabbeinu zal, even though our sages said shal shlosh advarim ha'olam amed. The world stands on three things, on Torah, on service in the temple, which is the service of the korbanot, and on good deeds. So avodah, service, means the offerings. Now, if it says in Pirkei Avot that the world stands on three things, and one of the three things is korbanot, it must mean that now too there is an aspect of korbanot which is giving kiyum, standing, power to stand in the world. B'chol zot, hare bekorbanot yeshnam kamad madrigot. So that's true, but in korbanot there are many different levels. Ushleimut inyan ha-kovenot yil ha-atid lavod dafka. And the wholeness of the covenant will be in the future, but in fact there is an aspect of the covenant now.
What aspect?
Well, because the life of a person, as he described, the fact that a person prays, and then he studies, and then he goes out to work, all of that is reaching up to the highest level and then coming down, offering up all the other different dimensions, gathering them together and making them close to Hashem. So there's the korbanot as they are in the person's life today, which means a life, the Jewish dimension of a person's life is a korban, bringing close all aspects of the world and connecting them with Hashem. So, v'od, a further point, de'bechdei sheyu ha-korbanot b'shleimot, but the ultimate of this is when you have korbanot in the full sense of the word, which also means drawing everything together in the most perfect and beautiful way, as it will be in the time of the temple. But in addition, there will be the korbanot kipshutam, the literal sense of the animal being offered in the temple. But in order that there should be the korbanot in a whole way, kemitzvat ratzonecho, as the mitzvah of your will, tzarich liot ha'adam ha'makhiv b'shleimut. The man who's bringing the offering, he has to be whole, or she has to be whole. V'zeh yedavka la'atid lavo. That'll be particularly in the future to come. V'lechein ti'az gam akhavat ha'korbanot kemitzvat ratzonecho. Therefore, there'll also be the offering of the offerings, literally as commanded in the Torah. Va'af al pi sh'olam amilo nivra, even though the world was created in a very complete way, de'ele toldot malektiv, because it says that these are the generations of heaven and earth, and it uses the word toldot, generations, writing the word in full. Shagam b'tchilat ha-briya, that even in the beginning of creation, haya olam b'tachlit ha-shleimut, the world was in a very whole and perfect state. Mikol makom, nonetheless, harizu ha-shleimut olam, it's the perfection of the world, and world in itself, the olam hu b'midida v'agbala, world implies limitation. V'limud ha-torah b'olam, but learning Torah in the world, tzarich liyot b'havana b'hasaga, studying of Torah has to be with understanding. Shezeh inyan shehagbala, that too is an aspect of limitation. V'alderech zeh b'nogeh l'kimu mitzvot, similarly with the keeping of mitzvot, mitzvot are defined, you can't do more and shouldn't do less. Hari yesh la'tzibui d'lo tativ v'lo tigra, there is an extra command not to add more to the mitzvot, not to decrease from the mitzvot. Shetzarich liyot b'mdida v'hagbala, the mitzvot have to be defined and limited in a very specific way. V'av shetorah mitzvotim chokhmato v'tzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the Torah mitzvot are the wisdom and will of Hashem, shelamayla m'mdida v'hagbala, which is above any kind of measuring or limitation, harei achshav zeh v'helem, this now is concealed. U'latid lavo, but in the future, when it will be, these are the generations of parrots, and this is what it says in the book of Ruth, where it's talking about the generations of parrots who comes finally. You have Boaz who marries Ruth, and then you have their great grandson who is David HaMelech. The Mashiach, Shetum Shach Daga Shelamayla Mibdidi Vagbola, that is drawn down a level which is beyond limitations. Hare Az Yitgale B'Torah Mitzvot Ma Sheheim Lamayla Mibdidi Vagbola. Then it's revealed in the Torah and Mitzvot the way they are unlimited and infinite. V'al Derech Zeh Gam B'Negeh L'Korbanot, similarly with the offerings in the temple, Shelatid Lavo, that in the future, Yitgale amitit inyan ha-korban, the true nature of the offering will be revealed. Pchinat raza de korbana, the secret of the offering. Shola ad raza de insof, which rises to the secret of the infinite. Shalemayle mimidide v'agvala, which is beyond all definition and limitation, k'mitzvat utzonecha, as the mitzvah of your will. So therefore, we have the concept of korbanot now. But in the future, this will be on an even more grand level, going higher and higher and higher. V'alidei ma'aseinu v'avodatenu, through our actions and service, b'meshech zman ha'galut, through the time of exile, al pi hora'ot ba'alei nidluah b'efrat, especially taking into account the teachings of Rabbi Sholem Dovber, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose yahrzeit it will be on Shabbat, v'rabbeinu nesiyenu b'chlal, and in general all the Chabad Rebbeim who are teaching us all the Torah of all the sages of all the generations, nizke b'karav mamash, we will soon have the merit to have the geula mitit v'shlima, the true and complete redemption, al yedei Mashiach tzidkenu, through the hands of our righteous Mashiach, she'az yabinim Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, then will be the building of the third temple, Beit HaMikdash HaNitzchi, the eternal temple, v'hakitzu v'rannu shochne afar, and all those who dwell in the dust, the Jewish people will rise, v'heim b'tocham, and the great rabbis among them, b'mheireb yameinu mamash, swiftly in our days, truly.